Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Okay, welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
The Swash.
A little bit of an alternative okay for the non-Patreon subscribers there. They're not used to it.
How are we doing, babe?
It's a sleepy house here. The time difference and jet lag is catching up to us today, but we're doing good. We're back. We're potting. I'm home. I'm in New York. Fucking hell. Good. Good.
Yeah, everything's good. And we have a somewhat reasonably smooth runway of weekend games, normal,
leap year, great year to play FPL.
What is leap year exactly? Pretend you're talking to a five-year-old.
I'm a six-year-old in this imaginary scenario, so I have that much more understanding.
Older than me.
I think it's like
20% more life than a five-year-old.
I think it's just literally like fixing a rounding error of like, it's not actually 365 days in a year. It's 365 point something. So once every 4 years, we just need to just squeeze a day in there and just make it right.
That's so this year, do we have a different number of days? It's not
366 this year because there's a February 29th.
Gotta sort that out. That's not good.
It's really bad job.
Is this like Y2K? Like the internet's going to collapse when the digit goes to zero or something?
I mean, we've gotten this far with plenty of leap years, so I don't know. I think we're okay. I wonder which weirdo footballer has a birthday on February 29th. That's something that we should know because they only get the opportunity to potentially play on their birthday once every 4 years. So you know they're going to fucking go to town.
What if the king died on February 29th?
Oh my God. Apparently Circus Charlie's has some problems.
How would you memorialize that?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah, has 29. Anything ever like really bad happened on a February 29th? That's kind of an interesting thing.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Cup starts 24
days to wait.
We'll find out. Cup starts, you gotta sign up by, fucking Friday. I mean, maybe even sooner if you want to be safe and definitely get in. Sign up for Patreon. There's a form to fill out. I'll link it in the show notes. I'll link it. It's the best time of year. It's the best time of year to sign up. You get in there, you get in the Discord, you get the fuck fest, you get the extra pods, and you get the cup. It's just like, time to fucking go.
And we appreciate the support as always. Yeah,
and we appreciate if someone can find a calendar of every Premier League footballer's birthdays and just send that over. The lore is really strong, and that's just the type of thing that I want to know.
Okay. Moving on. How'd you do this weekend?
I was doing quite well. I was up before
the photoning.
Yeah. Before my minus four turned into a minus 17. Here's the team, 77 points. I took a hit, so 73 points net. I did Foden and Jalv out for Gordon and Holland. Seems good. Gordon returned. Newcastle scored four goals. Holland returned. Good. Good for me. Foden scored 20 points. It was a minus 17 there. I got a very small, insignificant red arrow, like 1,000 places. Like a 50K green arrow. So that's painful. Yeah. And obviously Gordon immediately gets hurt, comes off in crutches in a game where they score four. And I'm just like, Jesus, I feel like I made the right pick and I get fucked. And yeah, I'll probably end up hitting him out this week, assuming he's out. The one thing I got very, very right was agonizing over my defenders.
Huge.
Talking to you time while you're well awake spent. And in the time.
Well spent.
Yeah, our little bit of time zone crossover. I was still in Taiwan at this point. Talking to like LR and Baker when they're awake in the time zone crossover. Do I go Gusto, Moreno, and Estupiñán Porro? Turns out Estupiñán Porro and Gusto combined all three of them for 2 points. So that didn't matter. But Moreno was the one that really fucking mattered and got a 14-pointer and kept
he
afloat.
Wasn't even in consideration. So that at least you can, put your pipe and smoke that one.
Yep. So
yeah, I mean, it's hard when you ask me these questions about like this 50-50 call because I'm not going to fucking tell you I would do this. How is that helpful?
No, you're very good at being someone for me to bounce ideas off of. And hopefully I'm that for you too. And hopefully everyone has that special somebody in their life because you don't bullshit me. You're just like, don't know, 50-50 call, you have to make the call. And that's honest. Right. Like, I feel like a lot of people, when you ask them, they feel pressured to be like, I would go this, or like, I feel strongly about this. But like, if you don't, you shouldn't tell people that. And you did. Yeah. So I just had to, make your call.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always hard.
Yeah. Really, really tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, fine week. I took a hit. I barely got a red. It's fine.
Yeah.
Here's your team. Tell me.
Yeah, I got 75, Captain Kev, obviously. Yeah, I mean, having no defense for every week feels really bad. Last week, I think my defenders got 4 or 5 points and goalkeeper all combined. This week, it was 3.
Yeah, last week,
2, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So, I mean, it feels like when you're rolling out 7 that you're disadvantaged, but that's where I'm at right now. And I'm starting to feel very tilted about my defenders full stop, but we'll come on to that as the podcast ensues.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Got that. Brandt, third on your bench, the only good defender in the game.
I mean, I guess we're going to come into it right now. All Brandt Thinning does is return every week, and I never start him. He returns every week. It doesn't even matter what the fuck is going on. It's just Everton are awful. Every fixture seems bad. It doesn't matter. He gets points every week. So I need to just start him at City from now on. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yep.
But.
And also, what about your transfer? I mean, you were all week, maybe even for longer than a week, probably thinking Ali to Holland, lock it in.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I never seriously consider transferring at Ali. That would be fucking so dumb.
Hold Darwin. Hodel. And then he comes out with the boot and it's time to just make that move and holy shit, plus 18. Yeah. Actually, I mean, just a plus 18. Darwin with a 0 point sub appearance.
Yeah. The yellow Huge. Card with the late sub. Yeah, Huge. It obviously I was very interested in removing Ollie, as I always am whenever I own him. But the fixture, it really was back to just watching Sheffield U against my team last weekend, where I was just like, this team is so ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
And you know, getting rid of Ollie for that specific fixture when the rest of my team was like, okay, it felt like it was a better spot, even though, you know, Darwin, I didn't know he had the double when I did the move because it didn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would have swayed me. You know, I would like to say it wouldn't have, but
probably yeah, I'm would not have, a strong I man. Think, just yeah, because.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, logically, though, you know, like I think you would have looked at your team and been like, why am I getting rid of a player I 100% want for home Burnley in 24 and I 100% want for the double in 25? It doesn't yeah. make that much sense, but it worked out for you this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jitterbug was like, how does it feel to finally keep Ollie and have your faith repaid? It's like,
yeah. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I fell backwards or I fell upwards or failed upwards into that
whatever
move.
That expression is. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I keep floating. You know, I just feel like I keep kind of pushing and postponing something like a bigger call in my team the last few weeks. But you know, the defense is really getting to me because it feels like I'm just all of the attackers everyone has are all good.
And they're all returning every week.
Yeah. They all get like, okay, oh shit. Like you had Foden instead of Rich. It's like, oh, sorry, you got a brace instead of a hat trick. But they're all good. You know, I mean, transferring Ollie to Tony or Dom to Darwin to Dom. It's like, fuck. You know, I mean, they're all fine. You're going to be doing fine no matter which of these players you have. But, you know, you spike the Moreno points. It's like, those are the kind of things that I feel like it's we're into that period of the season.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if I feel didn't like get I need that to, 14,
yeah, forget it.
I'm looking at
you're in trouble.
Huge red. Yeah, huge, you're in trouble. huge red.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
What's up?
Fine today. Let me league updates. I didn't actually say the January mug winners last week because we didn't know yet. Alex Walsh, Walshy, aka Kearney in the coal mine. First place mug, good job by you. First place mug by him. Neelanch Vissen, aka Sob on my slide.
Good for our shipping costs.
Yeah, for sure. Second place and third place, Chris Teachert, aka Austin FC. Another good for our shipping costs. Good job by you guys. And then February mug leaders after just one game week. Dude, Jack fucking Bones. Everyone, here's another Discord Patreon plug. The top tier of our Patreon, the live stream. You get exclusive Jack Bones content every week. He's an absolute fucking legend. Dude, he had 112 points this week.
Why wouldn't he?
He's up to 1,300 overall.
Yeah. Easy. It's an easy game for Jack. Like, I didn't realize the Matrix.
How much of a monster is. He benched Darwin for Garnacho. Plus 16, we talked no problem. About,
I mean, yeah, he comes on every stream.
Yeah, he you capped Ollie, owns Rich, owns Foden.
Yeah.
The
only reason why I do this stream is so that I get to talk to him. So he can tell me what the fuck's going on. Tells me about the blanks and the doubles. Yeah, that is good. True, the whole hodl. Like, yeah. And I just make fun of him that he has Dean. You know, that's it. That's our whole exchange every week. Same thing. It works out perfectly.
Dean and Charlie Taylor, doesn't matter. Yeah. Second place, Jordan Henry, aka Tadar, is Tadir, and Tadar is Tadir. I'm not sure. And then Hayden Hunter in third, aka Till It's Done.
Oh yeah, he's an old timer.
Old school.
Yeah,
yep.
He's a Wolverine fan.
So good to see that. Good to see that. Where should we start, dude?
Oh my god, all the clean sheets. I guess no goals this week.
Were there any cleans? Who cleaned this week?
Villa. Manchester United Football Club.
This is Manchester United. Unbelievable. Yeah, no cleans.
Oh boy. There are a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, I missed all of the Saturday matches because I was flying back from Taiwan.
Sure.
But I had Wi-Fi for like 30 minutes on the flight. And that was long enough to see a Rich brace. Yeah. I'm just sitting there on the flight like, girlfriend immediately sees my face go, just fucking white. Blue. And I'm
as white as Tottenham Hotspur's kit.
Yeah, what happened? I'm like, this fucking guy that everyone owns already on a brace. Nightmare of all nightmares. Yeah, exactly. Just fucking ready for my 16-hour flight of misery. Yeah. Just knowing. How many goals has Rich probably scored by now? He might be on a quintuple return.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyway, side said, is Rich the second coming of Miggy, or is he actually the best to ever do it? At what point did you put your hatred of a player aside for the sake of FPL? Jonathan at TJC said, is it too late to get Richarlison? And Psychop said, is Rich truly a worse pick than Matto? Fucking hell, dude. We both had Rich game week one. We both obviously got rid of the, at the time, worst pick in the game. And he's come back and just actually been the best pick in the game that we've been talking about since July. And he's just been a monster. And he's just getting so many shots and chances every game. Seems like he's really figured out the striker role. I mean, he just looks... I only saw highlights. I didn't see the whole game. But he just looks... I mean, he could have scored another.
Yeah. I mean, he does really... He's starting to really remind me of watching him play in Brazil, where he just is... Obviously, it doesn't do much, but he just finds those spaces in the box, right? Like, where he's available for the cutback to tap it in, or he's there for the rebound to tap it in. And he just makes up numbers and takes a few steps away from the marker, or, you know, this and that. You know, I mean, the goal that he... The second goal he scored was... a fantastic goal.
Insane.
And those are ones that, you know, you don't expect to see from a player like this. And when he does it, you know, you're happy to see it for if you own him, I guess. But yeah, you can't really say anything against him at this point. You know, I mean, he's cheap. He scores every game. They create a lot. All they do is attack. Sun's going to come back and obviously play left wing. I mean, it's Rich is going to be playing striker indefinitely.
For sure.
And
forget about Sun as striker. I mean, just forget about that.
Yeah. And I mean, the only thing that's unreturning that will dent Rich is, you know, he'll be off pens, which presumably he would be on, even though this team never has won a pen in their career. And
I wonder what the minutes shit was too. I mean, maybe, you know, a Spurs fan will know better than us, but like most of his career, he was not really a 90-minute man, if I remember correctly. Obviously, all this season, he wasn't. And then Sun goes away and he's 81, 90, 90, 90.
He played 90 when he was fit for Everton. Watford. Okay. He was never subbed.
Yeah.
I mean, my position on it, or my guess is just he's tactically an idiot. So I think as the game wears on, you know, that's a spot that you can freshen and put someone else in the middle, and, you know, and it's okay there.
Yeah, and but, you're totally right, by the way. I'm just looking at his Everton minutes. Yeah, just 90 all the time.
Yeah, when he was fit, he never saw it. But, you know, I mean, that's all I could imagine, is that he's not happy with certain off-the-ball things. Because even these, I mean, you know, we look at his game log, right? He has two goals, he has brace, goal, 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 blank, goal, goal, brace. But he's still subbing off 64, 64, 71, 71. I mean, at the time when he was at the beginning of this run, you know, we were sitting here saying, like, he doesn't look good. And he's getting
that
subbed.
Was just accurate.
Because he's doing dumb shit all the time, and he scored a header on a corner. So he gets all these points in FPL. You know, but the last few games, it seems like it's changing a bit, and he's just doing the good things, and he looks great, and it's really just a matter of how do you fit him in and who do you forsake. It's tough. Like, you can't sit here and say, like, Saka's a better pick. He's not. You know, he's a winger. And
definitely not.
Rich is the fucking striker, and he's 2 million cheaper. And also, like, when do you do that move? I don't know.
When do you do that move, especially with the blank in 26?
Blank. Yeah. The blank. It's, yeah.
So, like, you know, you compare him to, like, aforementioned Foden, or, you know, he has two less fixtures than Foden.
Right.
Because they double in 25 and play in 26. You know, right. It's just, that's a hard sell. It's a really hard sell. But I think just, like, looking back for a second, I mean, obviously he's red hot. He's not going to continue this. I mean, he's been an average finisher or slightly below average finisher his whole career. He's like doubling his XG right now in this run. I think that, like, we correctly evaluated that he was not playing well in the early part of this run. I mean, right, we're talking about Forest, one shot, one goal, subbed at 71. Everton, one shot, one goal, subbed at 62. Brighton, two shots, no goal, subbed at 64. I mean, that's not a buy. That's never a buy, that pick. I think where maybe alarm bells should have gone off is just like home Bournemouth, five shots, 1.3 XG goal. It's just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, is he about to go nuts? And the answer is yes. I mean, the shots went up, the minutes went up, the XG went up from that moment on, and he's just on fire right now. But
yeah, it looks like you just figured something out, right?
Yeah, like, is it too late? I mean, it kind of feels like it is.
No, I don't.
Just because of the blank, though. Like,
oh, well, I don't. Well, that's a different conversation, I think. Like, buying right now for two game weeks and then a blank is a difficult sell. I agree with you. But I think 27 onwards, like, you know, this is just a good
pick. That's not too late. Yeah, that's not too late.
You know, they have a little tough run, it looks like, from like Newcastle, City, Arsenal, Liverpool all in a row. They do have a Chelsea game in hand with the blank that'll double somewhere in there. But,
yeah,
you know, from 27 on. But, you know, I'm still, I look back though, like if you have Garnacho as your fifth, like you do, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't think the blank should put you off. I mean, home Brighton, home Wolves, he could score a brace in both of those games.
Yeah,
those are both ahead. At home. I mean, those are fantastic fixtures. I think we do, again, I mean, we kind of touched on this, I don't know if it was my life or whatever the last time we recorded, but
yeah,
the blank's almost where we sit and say, well, we can't do this because, dude, players usually actually get 2 points all the time.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, good picks don't score and are assists like all the fucking time. So, just because there's one game week off, like, these next two can just, you can profit from that. Like for me, like it makes less sense for me and my team because I have Palmer, Chukwuemeka is my fifth mid. I have three defenders blanking in that game week. You know what I mean? But for like your team, I feel like, you know, you could definitely like do Gordon to Rich, you know, like that's fine to me.
Especially he's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a fine transfer to me. And you just hide him, play Garnacho, whatever.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
The other part of the blank shit, and I'm not exactly sure how everything is going to play out. This is not the pod for that, but I know everyone's been talking in our Discord that like 29 is going to be the obvious, you know, free hit because that's like the big, big blank. But none of those blanks are actually confirmed yet. Like all of those teams need to like win their FA Cup game that hasn't happened yet to therefore blank. So, I mean, I don't know when we're going to know, but all I'm saying is that like, it might not be the end of the world if you're, you know, piled up on Liverpool with their double. You have Rich and Poro and you have, you know, Palmer and, you know, whatever other blankers
in the barrel.
You could free hit in 26 and maybe get up with a little bit of luck, be like, actually, 29 is not that bad. I mean, someone told me, I forget who it was, someone told me that if Villa beats Chelsea,
which seems like the easiest game of their life.
And Villa's home.
They're playing tomorrow or Wednesday or something?
It's soon, yeah. I think Wednesday. And Villa's home. Then Chelsea-Arsenal will happen in game week 29. And for most teams, that's like five players? At least four?
I mean, right? I'm a little bit lost in the sauce right now with what you're talking about.
No, I'm just saying, so like 29 is the big blank, but if Villa beat Chelsea on Wednesday, then Chelsea-Arsenal do not blank in the big blank. Okay. And therefore, it's like becomes a lot easier to navigate just with like the players you already have, you know?
Sure.
So
I'm
saying is like, it's doable. It might end up working out really well.
Anything's doable. I mean, dude, we're playing basically with seven men every game week with no defenders. So who gives a shit about a blank player here? That's fine. You're fine.
And what about Rich versus Matto? I mean, we got to amend that call, right? Yeah. And Matto is still a great pick. I don't change that.
Yeah. But he's just
not brace potential.
Yeah,
and Rich
just doesn't shoot. He doesn't shoot enough. He's more of, you know, you're relying on the assist with the bonus point type thing and the occasional goal. And
he'll get some goals. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're both great picks, basically.
They're both really good picks. And Sun's about to come back. The whole meta is about to change all over again. Meanwhile, we're sitting here with fucking Cold Palmer. You know, he has the Palace game, sure. And then he's at City blank.
I'm selling him, dude.
I mean,
after Palace, I'm fucking selling him. I'm just gonna rip it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much to say about that game, but just from like FPL perspective. But one thing that was very, very noticeable to me was Chilwell back in the team is just a fucking nightmare for Cole Palmer. And I was watching really closely because I captained him. He didn't take free kicks. He didn't take corners. Chilwell took basically all of them. And I was looking up while that match was going on, because I was like, I wonder how much that actually matters. But 20% of his expected assists have come from set pieces so far.
Sure.
So it matters a fucking lot and makes him just a lot less of appealing of an asset to me.
Yep. I mean, you're taking away an avenue, which he needs avenues because he doesn't shoot that much. He plays, you know, peripherally and floats around. But
he shoots, but they're usually bad ones.
I mean, I think there's a lot to say about this game because, you know, this is just a complete basket case dysfunctioning mess.
Potch is on the edge.
He's horrendous. I mean, how long have we been talking about him? From literal months.
Chelsea fan Cole, who makes all our GIFs, really dumpstered Potch in this GIF. He texted it to me earlier. Good. So, you know, if he's feeling that way, then that's a good indication of how all the fans are feeling, probably.
Yeah. No, it's just complete lunacy. He puts the positions he puts players in, who he picks, everything's ridiculous. And yeah, I mean, I just want to really divest myself from players on this team as much as I can, because I don't have any faith or trust that they're going to improve. And it's game week 24. Like, this was the other thing.
But have to improve for Palmer to be a good pick? I don't think so.
I do, because they're
still creating chances, even though they're conceding four goals. And he's still fucking amazing.
Individually and independently is, but I mean, he was very out of that game to me. Like, watching the game, it was like he was barely influencing or barely in anything.
And he scored kind of a worldie, you know, it was like weak foot after an incredible Caicedo pass. He still gets four shots.
Yeah.
And I just think he's just, but like, you want the volume because he's so good, right? Like,
The fixtures are City, so blank, bad. Brentham, so Newcastle, bad. Arsenal. It's like, I'm not worried about that, you know?
Especially because they might blank in 29, too. Like, like they might upset Villa in the cup. Who the fuck knows? And then then he has two blanks and the bad fixture. It's like, holy shit.
And I mean, just looking at their fixtures for the rest of the season, I mean, they have Burnley at home and they have at Chef U. They haven't played any of the good teams yet. I mean, it looks like a lot of top 10 teams for them. And, you know, I just feel like, that's an opportunity. I mean, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, you know, he returned. God, did my internet just go out? Can you hear me?
You froze for a sec, but you're back. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Palmer, I'm just, you know, I mean, Palace is the easy, best actual imaginable thing for anyone to play Palace right now. But yeah, you know, I'm getting really exhausted from Chelsea, and I also was making me think more about like your guys, Liverpool. You played Chelsea and absolutely disassembled them. And it's like, it's so funny how people still talk about Chelsea this year. Like, oh, like Chelsea. Like, oh, this is like a, a big sixth or like a
yeah, you fucking can't really. It's hard like, to like
this
remove
team is
that.
Fucking dog shit. Like they're terrible.
It's crazy.
They're barely eighth. Like
and
best team
so
in this.
So inconsistent. I mean, like any might not good even... performance they have is an outlier. Like you think.
Yeah.
How many, I'm sure whatever equivalent of like the Anfield Rap Chelsea pod, I'm sure every other week they're like, all right, we just need to build on this, build on, and it's just like, nope, we get absolutely fucking dumpstered by Wolves. And it's like,
dude, Wolves did the double on them.
Yeah. And it's, Gaz O'Neill might be their next manager.
Yeah. I mean, this is the level here, you know, and it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
That's tough for them.
Yeah. I don't know how we did get onto Chelsea, though. What were we talking about before?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but I was saying for Liverpool, it was like, everyone's like, oh, my God.
You were talking about getting rich, and then we talked about like transferring Palmer, potentially. But, yeah, what about Liverpool?
Where it's like, everyone's talking about like, wow, this was just like an enormous win, and we're going to roll into Arsenal, and the tails are up. Like, it's like, dude, Chelsea... Beating Chelsea is like beating Wolves. Like, I mean, that's the level they've been playing at.
I mean,
here.
They're below them in the table for a reason.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I mean, it's just they're a bad team. You know, it's
Poch is really,
really
got nice.
He's got to go to international football. Like, he should be managing a fucking national team.
I saw a tweet that was level. Like, I don't remember exactly the numbers, but it was roughly. Chelsea are thinking about sacking Pochettino, but they break FFP because they have to like pay him out. They're still fucking paying Potter, I think. So
of course they are.
And they're just a complete nightmare.
Fishstick man, this fucking hat.
Let's talk about the City game today. I mean, we just got a couple questions. I mean, Ray for one said, with Kev having a 65% EO at my rank, do I just need to buy him to protect my ass and then X50 said, who are the best three City picks for the double, and is any defender safe enough to be one of them? In particular, what do you think of Gvard's chances of starting both games in Game Week 25? I think just like piggybacking off of that question, it's just like, who do you feel like you people need to be on for this home Everton, followed by a double, followed by away Bournemouth with, you know, Copenhagen in between where...
Yeah.
I personally am just like, yeah, I think you do need Haaland, and I do think you need Kev too, especially while Mo's not in the game.
Yeah.
Funny that X50 asked, like, who's the best third pick? He obviously asked that question before today because Foden just scored a hat trick. But I mean, is it just obviously Foden? Is there anyone else?
Yeah. No, it's, you know, I mean, you know, we were talking about Foden as like a coverage pick, and look, you know, the hat trick today was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play commensurate with a hat trick type performance.
No.
He just, a few of the balls bounced to him and, you know, he found the spaces and it was a really lucky day for him. And also, you know, on balance, you know, he was good for at least a return today also.
Yeah, for sure. He's just
such a good player, you know, and whether he's playing, I mean, well, if he is playing absolute wide right for width, then you're in trouble, but he might only do that for 20 minutes in a given game. You know, I mean, is he going to play that for 90? You know, there will be some games where that might happen, but then there will be other games where you watch today where he's playing inside. I mean, Kevin was playing, you know, inside striker, you know, next to Haaland, and he's so slow. It's a poor guy, his ginger beauty, but he's so fucking slow.
Quick.
It's hilarious. He used to have the turn of pace, you know, where he could like accelerate out.
He just
doesn't have that anymore. But, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I think those are the three. It's Haaland, Kevin, and Foden. The defense is a joke. I think you have to just kind of.
I was so confident in a Brentford goal today, and I know they only got the one. Neil, yada yada.
They were good for two though.
They had so many chances
in the second half.
Every set piece felt like this is a big chance, and every ball that Tony got on, no matter where he was on the pitch, he's so fucking
quality. Either shooting or creating a huge chance.
Yeah, and it just felt like they were a complete mess. I mean, it's arguably still worth a punt to go there for the double because who knows? You know, they're not going to keep no clean sheets for the rest of the season. Gvard's going to score eventually one of these shots. He keeps playing out of position, keeps getting shots. I don't know.
Or he doesn't. Possible.
Or he doesn't. But, you know, I don't know. You know, the question of like, what do you think Vard's chance of starting both games? I mean, fucking shake your magic eight ball. Like, that's literally the answer. I have no fucking idea what Pep is doing with the who's going to start which games. Like, absolutely no idea. Not going to pretend to know.
I think getting a defender is ludicrous. Because, like you're saying, you know, they have 2 days off between the two games and the double. They're not even keeping cleans. I mean, they're just a bad clean sheet shout every week, seemingly. They let up precisely one goal every game and, you know, look very much like they should be letting up one, if not more, goals per game, even though their underlying defensive numbers are okay, you know.
And Ederson still makes no saves.
Yeah, Ederson, you know, doesn't. For I mean, he goes out.
Considering that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he runs out like a psychotic maniac today and tries to, you know,
what
kill
the
someone
at
the edge of the box.
Vibes,
yeah, well, it's Ederson vibes. He does shit like that all the time.
He does.
I mean,
he really does.
We could have an Ederson conversation, but they might need to move on from him.
But,
you know, the defenders, it's like they have every single box is not checked. So I would, instead of doing that, you know, get an actual defender who's good on a team that, and none of them have attacking intent. I mean, Gvard, I feel for him. You know, he's not a left winger. He's a fucking center back. And I don't know what Pep sees in him. I haven't seen anything, you know,
it's
from him
really
in that position.
It's really bizarre. I feel like he's testing him almost.
Yeah,
like
it's like Bloodsport or something where it's like he's like hanging by the fucking things. So he's hitting him. It's like play left wing, like again, Joseph.
Cut in on your weak foot. Cut in on your weak foot. Take shots from outside the box. He's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Because, I mean,
It's like, got to be Foden. I'm really torn about, like, I mean, there's some definite bias at play here. I mean, I literally just hit him out, so I'm sure that I'm weighing it more negatively. But I do agree with what you said. I'm happy you said it because it means I'm not completely crazy. That, like, yeah, he scored a hat trick, but like that was a weird fucking hat trick in a weird fucking game, and he very easily could have just come away with one goal. City still win easily, and I don't know what we're talking about at that point. We're still probably saying Foden's the only guy because obviously it's not fucking Alvarez who's playing defensive mid today. But there's kind of no one else. There's no one else.
Yeah.
You can't really pick Doku. I mean, Jack
doesn't play.
Zero minutes. Bill got ripped off. You don't want a defender. There's no one else.
No, there's no one else. And, you know, the other thing with Foden too is
Rodri.
Yeah, well, hold on.
Honestly.
Hold that. Yeah, hold
not,
that
not crazy.
No, not crazy, but hold that thought. I mean, the other thing with Foden is that's so ridiculous is his fitness is unbelievable for a chav who shaves part of his eyebrow off. Like, it was stoppage time and he's running back like he's a fucking fullback. Like,
I know.
And he starts every, I mean, that's the thing, you know, he just starts every game and he's been playing so consistently and, you know, he could easily fall into like a little hot streak, you know, right now. Like he just banged a hat trick on, like probably didn't take four shots. I mean, did he take four shots? He probably scored on every shot he took today.
It seemed like that. Yeah, I don't remember much. Yeah.
And, you know, he might just be falling into some little small moment right now. And, you know, I think you just want to kind of have a, you know, you want to hit your star to that right now, hit your wagon to that. But, yeah, but Rodri, I mean, he's
just like.
Talk to me
about Rodri.
I mean, he's not a six anymore. You know,
he joins in
and he only has four assists this year, but with Kevin back, like the chance for him to have side pass assists of doing nothing
is very high.
Yeah. I mean, he had a few times today where, you know, it wasn't like a big chance, but it was just like some innocuous pass to like move the ball along and one of their five incredible players like did something crazy and got a good shot off, you know?
Yeah.
And he just joins in that side. He's really good at finding the space and just moving the ball along, and he's really accurate with his long distance shooting. And
I mean, you're saying he only has the few assists, but he has five fucking goals.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
and
I mean, he has
don't
nine returns.
Really feel fluky. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that okay, he's gonna finish the season on like 12 goals or something like that, but the reason I'm like not joking about getting Rodri is everything you said, paired with the fact that, again, they have home Everton banker right now. I mean, Everton are a fucking mess and they have no legs at all. Then they have a fucking home double in 25. Rodri obviously starts every game and they, you know, have away Bournemouth, which might be okay now too, who are also kind of stumbling. Home Man United is another great fixture in 27. So it's more the fact that, like, you can do Palmer to him. You could do Garnacho to him. Like, you can do your fifth mid to him. You're not really, like, taking up a city spot as much as you would in previous years because there's really only three guys. Yeah, there's usually there's guys. Seven guys you're considering. And right now there's three. And you'll start him in 25. You might even start him in 24, depending on how fixtures work out for the rest of your team. And, like, you know, you might get a little haul there. You know, he has a bunch of double digits because he's so ridiculously good on bones if he ever gets a return. Like,
he could have easily returned today.
Easily. And he has four double digit hauls because of the bones, basically.
Yeah. Every goal is 6 to 9 points, basically. Yeah.
So, you know, he's not that crazy a pick.
And it's very odd to, I mean, we've never, Rodri has been in and out of transfers in because he scored a goal or something, and we're always like, this is a joke.
Complete joke.
Is the first time I've ever actually in my brain thought, like, oh, he's like a reasonable pick.
100%.
Because I do feel like he is joining attacks more than I've seen him.
For sure.
And yeah, so 5-6. Yeah, like if you can't afford Foden, they have... I mean, they have 4 home games in their next 5. So you don't have to buy Rodri till the end of the season. But, you know, you look at the minutes plays, he's just going to play every minute that he can when he's fit, you know, and you look at that little window there, you know, it's you can do worse. People buy Doug Luiz. So,
I mean, it's not made up. I mean, I'm just a quick like glance at his numbers. I mean, this is his shots per 90 since joining the Premier League. 0.87, 1.02, 1.4, 1.55, and this year it's 2.21. So ridiculous, highest of his career by more than double in most cases.
Sure.
And his touches in the final third and the box are also just way up, highest of his career. So like what we're seeing is just really what's happening. He's
Love 6. When that happens.
He's an 8. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's So yeah, okay. Good. And he's really good on set pieces too.
Yeah, get some set piece sponsor, sure.
Yep. Should we talk Arsenal Liverpool?
Sure. Yeah. Well, hopefully we don't have a fight, you and I. But what are we doing?
What are we fighting about here?
Well, it seemed like we didn't watch the same game.
Oh well, that's no problem. I mean, FPL wise, not that much to say. I mean, I feel like the my biggest read FPL wise was just like, LOL, Saka's inevitable. And also, Arsenal's defense is as good as the numbers say they are, right? Yeah. Like, they haven't been great with cleans lately. I mean, in a sort of similar to City way, where they're just like, oh, they conceded one like annoying, dumb goal.
Yeah.
But like, their defense is so goddamn good and their press is so goddamn good. And it just feels like, no, they actually should be cleaning like 3 out of every 5 games or something like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've had the double on defense for a while, and it's been really bad. I mean, like, really bad.
I mean, without the Gabriel goals, you would be like, they might not be in your team anymore if he didn't have the goals to, like, cover up some of the...
They don't keep any cleans.
Yeah, I mean, they have... do they actually have? They have 2 cleans since game week 17.
They have 6 cleans on the year, 7 That's or something crazy, like that. Man. 6. Yeah. I mean, 7. Yeah, they have 7.
Their defense is so good. And I really just feel like I should like emphasize that point because that's the unit that dominated the game for me. Mm-hmm. Was just, you know, the defense and winning the ball back and the press was just so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Arsenal played really well, and they, you know, they won, and that was a good job by them.
Yeah.
Liverpool, though.
My other main takeaway, I think, well, this is maybe contentious, but for me, it's not contentious. I mean, there's a different, I think if you polled, like, our Discord or just any casual watcher of the Premier League or something like that and said, like, who's better, Darwin or Jota, I think, like, 80% of people say Jota. Maybe more. Everyone's just like, Jota's obviously better.
Well, what is the word better? I mean, well, that's fucking insane. But what do you mean by better?
I don't know. I'm leaving it that vague for a reason. I think that like in people's minds, everyone would consider Jota just a better player, a better footballer. And you watch this team with, obviously no Mo, we knew that going in, but you watch the team with no Darwin also. And it was just like, oh my God, it's like a wide chasm. How much better Mo and Darwin are than the other attackers in terms of just creating stuff and making stuff happen.
Yeah, and, I mean, no Szoboszlai was a big deal.
That was huge.
The midfield three was I mean, they had second choice players in several places, and you know, Trent
wasn't fit.
Clearly does not look like he should be starting.
I think Bradley would have started based on the fitness. I mean, if Trent could only last 50, and he wasn't even running, he was standing, he was terrible. He was standing still on the sideline. We were talking about it in Discord.
He was just terrible.
He's not inverting. He's not coming for the ball. He just couldn't run.
He was like a fucking decoy. He's just standing on the tight. He was terrible.
And I was talking to you about that before the game. I was like, when I was agonizing over my defender picks, I eventually started Trent because, you know, he's capable of a double digit haul in any game. But yeah, I mean, Bradley, I think clearly would have started that game. Sad news, his dad passed away like right after the last game.
Which is fucking insane, dude. Isn't his dad must be like 40 or something.
50? Yeah, I mean, he's so young.
It's awful.
It's really, really terrible news. But yeah, I mean, I think Trent is clearly not fit. Muscle injuries are fucking weird. You know, I mean, everyone recovers differently. Yeah.
But...
So, I mean, I expect him to start home Burnley, but again, I wouldn't be completely shocked if Bradley starts if Trent is not 100% and can't run. Maybe he needs another week off or something like that. So, yeah. I mean, it was a fucked up team and they didn't play well.
Yeah, I mean, Darwin's obviously a better player than Jota. It's not really fair to compare the two, honestly, to me. It's not close. They play like they do completely different things, but yeah, you know, Liverpool really struggled, and you know, the midfield was very difficult to watch, and you know, it looked like it was just McAllister. I mean, dude, I Gravenberch, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a 20-year-old, I'm happy with the purchase. I'm like, he's flashed a lot of good stuff, but he's obviously not first choice for a reason.
Yeah, you know I mean? I see him as going like the Fab Carvalho, very.
I think he's better possible. Than that.
Yeah, it's possible. But
yeah, it's possible.
You know, I mean, buying him for the fee they did. I mean, they have a million midfielders and they're all hurt. I don't know.
I think he's young enough that he does enough good things where you could possibly shape him into a player. That said, he's played way too many minutes. And he wasn't bought to play that many minutes.
Yeah, he's just played too many minutes this
and
year.
And I think that a strong, like, question mark in this is like, if Klopp was gonna be the manager next year, I'd feel so much more confident. Like, he'll figure something out with him. Like, I don't know what his future role is, but he'll figure something out. Who knows what our new manager is gonna be, right? Like you said, I mean, new manager might come in and just be like, you're not a player, and he doesn't fucking play a game again. So wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, but I mean, any game he starts, I just watch him. It's like, oh my God, like we're carrying a passenger here. I mean, what is he really doing? And, you know, it's when you're playing the 4-3-3, like every single one of those midfielders is just so important. And, but yeah, I mean, Liverpool just didn't play well and have home Burnley next, which is just what the doctor ordered before.
It's kind of great to maybe bait the masses to not go hard on Liverpool for home Burnley and the double.
I mean, because you could watch that game and be like, oh, like I don't trust these at all. I mean, where are they going? You know, I mean, you're not hopeful. But home Burnley and then the double with Brenham and Luton, you still want to buy. I think the 100%. Question though is like, I am very worried about Trent though, because he's clearly not himself, and I just don't know anything. No one knows regarding his fitness, and it's just like,
well, yeah, that was Ray's question was, is Trent worth buying right now? And then Kim said, is Trent worth keeping for the double? And the truth is, like you said, I just don't think there's any way of knowing anything. I don't think Klopp is ever going to come out and say, I mean, he did come out and say after the game he wasn't fit for 90 and it was a pre-planned sub. So that is what it is. But we're not going to get news of like, okay, now he's 100% fit and he's going to play 90. We're never going to get that news. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm holding And I'm starting him, obviously. But is he a buy, do you think? Ray's question?
No.
No?
No. I would buy
Virgil. Too worried about the VVD. Fitness?
Yeah. I mean, if he's not fit, that means he can't play, you know? Yeah. And
the doubles, short turnaround, right? Saturday, Wednesday. I mean,
yeah. The double isn't short, for 2 weeks, you know? So there is time there, but I would want to watch him play like himself before I would buy him. You know, yeah. I mean, he will eventually do that. I mean, yeah. He's not going to look like this for the rest of the year. But, you know, would I buy? I would just spend $2 million less and, you know, get Van Dijk, who you know is going to play every minute of the season and, you know, who should get, you know, more than one goal all year. And, you know, that's where I would go.
Yeah. I think that's
because I'm
really
considering
fair.
Selling for money, going Trent to Van Dijk. It's not nothing. What depending on
money
what else I want to
do.
Do
you need? Like, who are you affording with that?
Well, I'm not in love with Palmer. I don't know when these other guys are coming back. Like, I might want to get the Spud mid. I might want to turn Solanke into Tony. I mean, there are things.
Well, what about Darwin? I mean, Ray asked, if you're going to snip snap forward to Darwin for 2 weeks and then reverse it, would you prefer to sell Dom or Ollie? And then Aurelio said, is Walsh bringing Darwin straight back in?
He didn't look good to me when he came on.
I mean, he's also not fit.
Yeah, like he wasn't doing normal shit. Like I was watching him fairly closely when I didn't like rewatch the game or anything psychotic like that. But when
I was actually fantasizing about that earlier today. I'm in the shower. I woke up at fucking 4 a.m. because of the jet lag. And I was just thinking like, because we both listen to Anfield Rap. They do a great show called The Review. They all rewatch the game. They dive so heavily into the tactics of the game and what went on and all that shit. Dude, I wish someone fucking like paid us to do that. Imagine our job was just to like, oh, let's wake up and rewatch the game together and discuss everything really intently. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a little too much, but yeah, Darwin. He looked like he was just slow. Hurt. Yeah, hurt. Just
straight hurt. Up.
Yeah, yeah, just didn't look good. So
it's
I'm
another
not
one where, you know, we were just saying like if Bradley was available, he starts. Maybe Trent gets 20 minutes. Who knows? But I feel like if Mo was around, and Darwin maybe doesn't even make the bench.
Well, but I like, don't know about that. I mean, they fucking have 30 bench spots.
Yeah,
yeah,
whatever.
Take your point.
Whatever.
Take
you
your
take
point.
My point. Like it's he may not come off the bench if there's another attacker available. But the fact, I mean, Thiago fucking played. That's how desperate we were for any minutes. And Thiago hasn't played in at least a year, I think. Like, I don't even know.
Something like that.
And he comes back and plays 6 minutes and immediately just passes to the Arsenal defender. So, yeah, it was just a really fucked up, injured mess of a game for Liverpool. And Arsenal played really well.
So I would be really concerned about Darwin starting. I mean, it's a long week. It's Monday right now. We'll see what kind of information and news comes out. But yeah, I mean,
I'm thinking about Darwin. I really am.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. You know, I'm just worried about his fitness and, you know, I feel like Diaz and Jota are more, you know, the picks right now because they're actually fit.
Yeah.
Jota
usually you don't want to buy injured players.
It's not a great strategy.
Not a great strategy. You will usually lose out. But I just, I'm very tempted. If we have any sort of indication of full team training, fitness, whatever, I mean, I'm probably going to hit Darwin in if that's the case. Yeah. I don't know who I'm going to get rid of. You know, obviously, Dom has the better fixture this week with the Fulham game. But
well, let's
that,
talk about Dom. I mean, yeah, because I'm concerned. Two games in a row, they looked very bad. I mean, are you? I'm worried about that. Like,
me
are
too.
They going
I
into
think
a swoon,
the team is just
see?
Out of form. I mean, I don't think it's anything more than that. And Dom took no shots. I mean, they had the monster chance that was a tap in at the far post and didn't really create anything else for the rest of the game. And Forest aren't good. They're not a good team. And Bournemouth should have like pretty easily swept them away, but they just didn't do anything for the rest of the game.
They might be just tired.
I think they're tired, out of form, just something's clearly off. You know, that's not a good recipe for success. I still think, you know, Dom is a good shout to get points any week because he does so many good things. But and again, at Fulham, I like the fixture. You know, I expect a Dom return is pretty likely in that game. But then, it, you know, it's away Newcastle, which also we need to discuss because that might just be one of the best fixtures.
Yeah, great fixture.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, might be one of the best fixtures in the league. And then their home city. Then he has another green, you know, green run of fixtures. So it doesn't feel necessarily great to get rid of Dom, but at the same time, it doesn't feel great to get rid of Ollie, who just got an 18-pointer. Home Man United is okay. At Fulham's good. Home NFO is good. At Luton's good. Home Spurs is amazing. At West Ham's amazing. Home Wolves is good. The fuck.
Yeah. I mean, this is back to, you know, they're all good picks, and you're looking at trying to squeeze like an extra drop of like juice out of someone. Yeah. Man United, though, Darwin I don't think is any worth longer. That. Yeah, it could be. I don't think Man United is a good fixture anymore, though.
They've been playing solid. Yeah, they've been playing solid.
But, I mean, Darwin could be, but I'm just back on the fit. He didn't look right. You know, he just didn't look like he was doing his normal shit when he came on.
He shouldn't have looked right, if that makes any sense or makes you feel better at all, right? I mean, he was in, like, he couldn't get his boot off 3 days before the game. Right. So, like, you expect that. Like, he shouldn't look right. He should be hurt. He's probably in massive amounts of pain and got an injection. But another week after that, if it's just a bruise, I feel like he should be fine, right? It's not a muscle injury.
I could absolutely be wrong.
But in terms of like upside, we're talking about if he's fit, big if, home Burnley followed by at Brentford, home Luton double. I mean, fucking hell, if there's ever a time to buy, it's now.
Sure.
And then the other wrinkle is Mo. You know, we don't know. He was jogging on grass. I mean, I jog on grass all the time and I'm not fit to play. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah. And, you know, the double's 2 weeks away. There's, you know, a lot could happen between now and then. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to project out, you know, who you're going to get and what you're going to prioritize. But yeah, I mean, what about with Watkins? Just, you know, he had the enormous return, but does that, you know, look at, you know, you just listed the fixtures off and they're pretty good. Is it just crazy to sell him? I mean, is it just like, don't stop thinking about it? Like, he's going to pop up with a haul. He's going to return in a smaller way, even in the medium to tough fixtures. He's just fine or what?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of what we've seen from him all season, right? He'll, in that next run that I just listed, which I consider pretty much all good fixtures, you know, bookended by the two Manchester teams, which are bad. He'll get a couple one-pointers in there. He's done that all season. He'll get a couple five-pointers in there, and he might get one haul or two hauls. And that's really good, right? Like, that's an amazing pick.
Yeah.
You know, made better if they lose to Chelsea in the cup. And then you're talking about someone who plays in 26 home NFO when other people blank, and plays in 29 at West Ham if they lose in the cup when other people blank. And right, and that then it becomes like a, this is ridiculous to ever consider getting rid of this player if that happens.
Right.
It's just frustrating. Don't watch him. I was in the air. I was flying home from Taiwan. Didn't see a single second of the game. Checked my phone when I landed. They won 5-0. I got a haul. Great job. Yeah. If he got a one-pointer and missed sitters, I wouldn't even be mad. I'd just be like, oh, okay, players blank all the time. But if you watch the fucking guy, that's when you get
Everything
mad.
Everything changes.
Yeah, that's when you get mad.
Yeah.
What else? Should we touch on the Newcastle thing? I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I think they're just still not recovered, right? Like, they're still the same. Like, they're a joke.
Yeah, I mean, Jolen to miss is going to be a big thing for them, I think, for the rest of the year. I mean, their squad is just ravaged, and all of their players already played a season, and none of the other team's players have played a season yet. I mean, that's how he's been riding these guys since game week one, and it's just all catching up to them. And it seems, look, you fucking ship four at home to Lutonites. You're a complete train wreck. Yeah, we got five alarm fire problems. And, you know, to me, it's just, you don't want any Newcastle player period.
I mean, no, I was happy to have Gordon.
Not yet.
They scored four. They scored three the week before, and you know, he gets injured.
Yeah, and the goals they score, it's like, I mean, it just,
the attack is still fine, but that's not really, there's no one you're really buying anyway. So like, it's not even really an FPL point right now with that, with all the forwards are hurt and you know, whatever. Yeah. But I agree with you on the defense. I mean, Trips. Owners are fucking lucky he got a return.
I mean, come on. You cannot possibly get luckier. I mean, they ship four and he gets nine, but it's ridiculous.
It's his first goal since, what was that, game week five or something last season when he had a free kick against Man City.
They ship four. You know, you don't want a defender, no matter what the name of the defender is. So ship four at home to Luton.
The follow-up to that is the way they ship the four is exactly the way that they were melting down and being a nightmare after the Bournemouth game in that run where they were just, you know, getting fucking 8xG or whatever against Liverpool. It was the exact same way, which is
they conceded six.
They don't concede that many shots, not that differently to where they were when they were a good team, but the quality of the shots is ridiculously high. Luton only had 10 shots. And it felt like they could have scored six goals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess. They're a mess. So,
yeah,
get out of new, complete out mess. Of
and we need to rewire our brains for that as an attacking fixture because it's a fucking banker. That is a great fixture to attack.
Yeah, just a good fixture.
Just a good fixture.
I think it's like a similar to like how you see with Brighton on the fixture list.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they could surprise you with the zero or one goal performance. So generally, like, you expect to score
it'll
against
be
them.
Open.
They're not a good defense and, you know, plan accordingly. And Trips is just an awful pick.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I love to see that. Love to see that.
And Luton, I mean, for Fergening and Tio asks, like, what more do Adebayo, Barkley, Doughty need to do to be in our teams?
Barkley?
Yeah,
I guess a lot more. I mean, what has he been doing, points?
Yeah, I mean, he got a 13-pointer, 6-pointer, 2, 8, 2, 5, 2, 6, 5. I mean, he's been legitimately incredible. They have the double in 25.
Where's Garnacho?
They have a double in 25. They're going to have another double. It hasn't been scheduled yet because of the Lockyer shit that went down with Bournemouth. I mean, you could do worse for like a fifth mid. You could do worse for a defender pick. Certainly Doughty is making a name for himself, especially with the double, but you know, I'm not bending over backwards to buy Luton players.
Yeah, of course not. I mean, Adebayo does look like a player.
He's fucking legit.
Yeah, he's just a handful. He's hard to deal with, and he's faster than you would expect someone of his size to be, and he's somewhat decent technically, and he's okay with his movement. It just, I haven't seen teams just like, what are you doing? Like, how do you have a team that he's in it? I don't know. Maybe when Mo's back or something, like, we need a really cheap third forward. But for the time being, it seems like he's an easy pass. I mean, yeah, I'm not talking about Ross Barkley, but yeah, I mean, Doughty's great. I mean, he's Doughty's just great. Fucking 4 or 5. I mean, you stack him against the 4 or 5s, it's a joke. He returns like Branthwaite. He just returns every game. It doesn't even matter what the game state is. He returns every fucking game somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have they have a bad double, but, you know, he could still get like 3-point floor-ish.
They have a bad double. They also have home Chef U this week.
Yeah. But then and the
then again, the future double with
the Bournemouth game. Yeah, which will be fine. I you have to pick your spot if you're getting Doughty in. You know, I mean, who are you getting out for him? But
I think that there's actually, like, that's an interesting sort of segue because I think there is, I mean, we talked a lot last pod about Porro, right? Like, that's a place where I feel like you can make a lot of money, right? He has less sort of attacking responsibility with Matto back in the team. Their defense is a just complete joke. I mean, it's worse than Luton's for sure. So you never expect a clean there.
Yeah,
that's an easy move. You know, if you're in a situation where you're like, I need a mill or something to, you know, get to Kev, get to Holland, whatever it is, like, that's fucking free and it's just sitting right there. And you start Doughty over Porro for the next two game weeks, like, not even close.
Yeah, and then you don't have someone the following. So, you know, it still depends on your team.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, yeah, no, I mean, if you're asking me, would you rather have Poro or Doughty, literally right now, it's not even close. You want Doughty in the 1.5. It's not
and
close.
And Adebayo, but, yeah, I mean, like you said, I agree with everything you said. I think his balance is incredible. He's looked good, not just in this run. I mean, he's literally looked good since he's become the starter. He's just been really fucking good. And again, you're definitely finding a way to start him this week. You're definitely starting him in the double. It's just like, who the fuck are you benching? You know, I mean, in 25, okay, Palmer's at City. Easy bench, right? Like, that's ideal, actually, the way that lines up. Who are you benching this week?
Yeah.
You know, like, City or home Everton, Liverpool or home Burnley, Arsenal or at West Ham, Villa or home. Doesn't matter who they play. Palmer's at Palace. There's literally no one to bench. Spurs or home Brighton. So the fuck are you benching? Saka. And Dom's at Fulham. There's no... I feel like no one has an attacker with a bad fixture this week.
Yeah, it's tough.
Bench boost in Adebayo.
Yeah. All right. Should we roll on? What do you want to do? Anything else from the weekend?
There's some questions, but I don't really know if we want to answer them. Skip this. Let's do these couple of questions here, maybe, and then we'll move on. There's some questions about the double too, but we'll do it maybe on Friday My Life. But these two are interesting. And Viking said, "It's your favorite topic." He said, "I'm suddenly in a position without a starting goalkeeper.
Yes,
who is the best pick for the foreseeable future, considering the blanks and doubles, etc." If you want to know what the blanks and doubles, etc., you are listening to the wrong pod, but I know that you know that. So
yeah, I don't know anything about the blanks or doubles. Goalkeeper chat. I mean, it has to be Fleckmania. Allison, right?
No, Fleckmania.
It has to be Allison, right?
Allison blanks in 26. Fleckmania doubles in 25, no blank in 26. Big.
What's up with Allison lately? No cleans.
I mean, the Van Dyke Allison combo against Arsenal is not looking so pretty.
Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, there. I definitely wouldn't get someone who blanks, so I wouldn't get Allison.
Okay.
Because then you're just going to have not a keeper again really soon.
Yeah, in a couple
That's
games.
That's why I'm saying, like, Flecken. Or honestly, Kaminsky blanks, but, like, he has a double in 25 and another double soon. He's not bad. But you don't want to get a blanker, right?
Raya is still there. Just
Raya's great. Barely and might play points. In 29 actually is very important.
Yeah. Barely getting any points.
Based on what other people told me, there's two confirmed games in 29 right now. It's Fulham Spurs and Burnley Brentham. And then anything else is cup dependent. But if you are getting a keeper, maybe you can plan to get a keeper who doesn't blank, and then you're maybe in the driver's seat where you don't have to use free hit in 29 and you can use it later for the doubles or something. So maybe that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
29 is fucking 2 months away.
I know. It's not fun. Some people, this is their favorite part of the season. For me, it's every single season. It's the worst part of the season.
Yeah. Where are you at on Tony these days?
Tony's
I feel like we keep
kind of
just like shrugging him off, but
no, he should be. There's just not enough forward slots, man.
Yeah, but where, like, if you're wild carding,
if you're wild carding,
in like, what is Haaland plus two? Who are the two?
I think is it Tony Chalk and would be Tony Ollie.
Ollie and Tony,
just because of Darwin's fitness. If Darwin's fit, he's got to be in there.
Yeah.
The thing with Tony, and I keep fucking mentioning this with Brentham, right, is double in 25, don't blank in 26, don't blank in 29. And there's no one else that has that. It's only Brentham.
That's a forward. Yeah.
And so that is just huge. I mean, Tony is also the type of player underratedly. I do not give a shit who the opponent is.
Do not care
at all.
Yeah.
Completely fixture proof. Yeah. Such a good player.
I mean, I can't believe he blanked today.
Yeah. I mean, he has, if this was a normal player, you would look at, he has home Liverpool, at City, at Arsenal, three of the next five. Like, this is a bad pick because the fixtures are bad. Nah, don't care.
Yeah.
Great pick. Free kicks, pens, set piece, header merchant, and just like in open play is incredible too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He should probably be in teams, but again, it's what you started the whole pod with. It's just all these attackers are just great and all these defenders are bad. It's like,
yeah,
who's sitting there with two frees this week doing Ollie to Tony?
Well, I'm sitting here with two frees and I don't think I want to do Salong to Tony. Like, I feel like that's my best.
Over Darwin.
Dude, I'm worried about the fitness.
You're saying,
man.
What you're saying is unless we get really positive fitness update, then yeah, do Tony instead of Darwin. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And he doesn't blink. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and he doesn't blank, which for my team is an extra fixture. So
yeah, he's an extra
Darwin
fixture.
Doesn't really have a double. You know, that's for my team.
Yeah, you would have to snip snap him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
that makes more sense.
I have to figure out who I'm going to make money for
makes
to
more
do
sense.
That if that's my route.
So but, maybe the actual answer is like depending on the rest of your team and how many blankers you have.
Out, dude.
I know.
Fucking.
I mean, that's the thing, right? With the Liverpool game is like everyone pretty much unanimously agrees Arsenal were better, Liverpool played badly, yada, yada, yada. And then all three of Arsenal's goals are like, what just happened?
Yeah.
It's just like rebound falls to Saka, open net, you know, Martin goal, obviously the biggest joke ever. And then like a Trossard deflected through Alisson's legs goal. It's like, what? Yeah. I mean, Saka didn't really do anything where I was like, damn, fucking amazing pick.
No, he doesn't do shit. He just runs around and he gets triple marked because they're not attacking. Like he's fucking doesn't do anything. He's a winger. Just sets out on the wing doing winger shit.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I don't know, this is getting too, like, title racy, but the thing, my main takeaway from Arsenal in the last, like, month or something, where they've played Liverpool three times, two in league, one in the cup, is just like, I feel like they're so well set up to play against the top teams, Liverpool and City mostly.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they are. I
mean,
feel
like
they defend so hard and.
Yeah, and they're pressed, and they're so good on the counter, and so much pace, and all this stuff. But and then you look at all of the other games in between, and I'm just like, but are they good enough in open play to like win the league? Like, because if you're gonna win the league, it's not really dependent on like how you do versus Liverpool and City. It's way more dependent of like, are you gonna pick up a billion points against the bottom 10 and just win every game? Because that's what City are gonna do.
Yeah.
And that's that for me. It's still like the question's out when they're just like in open play with 75% possession against the bus. It's like they just don't really convince that often.
Yeah. They don't overload. They don't take risks. They don't do anything, which is that's the surprising part to me is that when the game state is, you know, 0-0 entering into a later stage, you know, or I mean, I guess I haven't had too many of instances like that, but yeah, you know, we don't see them really taking any chances by, you know, pushing that extra controlling midfield area guy into the final third and, you know, maybe he'll change that, but, you know, we'll
and
see.
I mean, even the Liverpool game, right? Like, I guarantee every Arsenal fan that Diaz to Gabriel own goal goes in right before half. Every Arsenal fan's like, we're fucking losing
this
game.
Yeah, we're fucked. We're fucked. We have nothing on the bench. They're going to put Darwin.
We
like, we're
dominated
fucked.
The first half and we're nothing level at half. And this is a complete fucking nightmare.
That was my
feeling. Yeah, and me too. And I was like, oh, we're definitely winning this game. And that's on them.
Yeah.
Like, they should have taken more risks because they were completely fucking Liverpool who couldn't get the ball out of their own half. Yes. And they should have been up 2-0 or 3-0. And that's what a better team does.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, I don't know. That's the soccer rant. But let's do this one last question, then get out of here. Pick said, bit more of a meta question regarding the free hit. From what I've noticed over the last few years, is it maybe better to have your free hit in mind for the double over a blank? For you know, a double game week over a blank game week.
Yeah.
The idea is that in a blank, you want like the 2-3 good guys, but otherwise all the other players you get are not too good and they blank anyway. In a double, you get a bigger selection of good players. I just find it interesting because I genuinely don't remember. This is the type of shit where I'm like, I don't remember what the fuck happened.
Super Bowl last year.
But someone knows. And I'd be curious to see like, because you and I have pretty much always just been like, nah, just free hitting the big blank. You're guaranteeing plus, you know, 16 points just for minutes played and maybe you'll get a return, whatever. But it might be true that you can just have a bad week because bad teams are playing and you don't want to, you know, whatever, use a free hit on like an insignificant week And yeah. free hitting when, you know, City have amazing double, Liverpool have an amazing double, Arsenal have a double, is maybe that's better. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this every other year. I feel like yeah, we probably. Got a question like this, but yeah. you're also, I mean, the way that I've always seen this is like, you're always accruing risk when you're using it on the double game week, because you have good players in your team.
Yes.
And if they play one game in that game week, they're going to fucking play in that game. And if they have two games, then they might play two.
Right.
But if you have you're in the big blank week, you know, you have all your good players, like, they're not playing. And so you're like, what is the comparative difference of potentially having an extra few double game weekers over the already good picks you have that are playing once, if yeah. not twice?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is never going to overbalance or like outweigh having all these blankers and my team's a mess and I have like five guys.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, so I do think there's
luck also in there.
Of course,
right?
Because like every game week, yeah.
Well, I don't even mean with like the specifics of the returns. I mean luck in terms of like who, like, is there going to be a pick that emerges that everyone's not on, right? Like,
which happens sometimes.
Well, it happens, right? Like, all it takes is one injury, one suspension, right? Like, Mo gets injured, right? All of a sudden, you're free hitting in Jota, Darwin, Diaz or something, and everyone has Mo and Trent.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, this is worth it. You know, like, I'm so happy I'm a free hit. I have a huge advantage.
Sure.
But like,
sure. Yeah,
that also might not happen. And everyone has the already good picks from the good teams that are doubling. And you're making like four changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But I mean, and it also depends on, you know, what teams double, like who's in your, obviously all that shit. But
yeah.
I mean,
where
I don't
are
think
we at
the,
this season? Like, who's playing for anything?
Yeah. And the premise is, you know, it's worth considering for sure. And, you know, anytime there's conventional wisdom, it's always going to be in your advantage to question it and look at your team and think of, you know, what are the other options? Because it's a lot more difficult to do that and then do the brave thing rather than just be a sheep and, you know, follow what all the, you know, bench walker, like, oh, yeah, of course.
Bench walker. After bench walker.
Yeah, I mean, why would you start someone who's not going to play? You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, like, I mean, to follow the content creators, like, man, hit Foden out. It's good.
Easy game.
Easy move.
Easy game.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's
man.
It. Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
That's a pod.
That's a pod. We'll be back, normal pod, Thursday night, Friday My Life, and a live stream on Friday. We got one new sign up since the last pod. No idea how to pronounce his name. J-O-J-J-E. How are we pronouncing that?
Judge?
Yeah, is it Judge or Yo-Ye?
He's either from Japan or he's looking at a fjord right now.
Literally no idea. Yeah.
Could be either. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's Nordic or something, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. All right, any last words? Sign up for the cup.
Sign up for the cup. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Sign up for the cup. Check us out at FMLPL.com. Follow us on Twitter at FMLPLSportsMedia.com/FMLStackRateMusic.
Sports Social Podcast Network.